Hey guys, it's Kayla Yule from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken nuggets, now available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.
I fucked it up, man. I fucked it up. Shit. Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am Heather B. Armstrong.
And I am John R. Bray.
We are gearing up for the most horrible time of the year.
Yeah.
John and I agree.
That's definitely what it is. I mean, really, I think the most horrible time of the year is like the week of Thanksgiving through Christmas. But once you pass Thanksgiving, you're right in the thick of it.
Right in the thick of it. What's different this year for me is all of my Christmas stuff is in my garage, but I don't know where it is because I'm not the person who took it out of the moving truck and put it in the garage.
Ah, right.
So I'm not sure where any of my Christmas stuff is. And then there is the complication of space. There is literally nowhere to put a Christmas tree in my house.
And you have a full, it's artificial, right? But it's full size?
I think I have a small one. I think I kept it. I may actually have to order one off of Amazon, like a small Christmas tree, because there is nowhere to put a Christmas tree in my house. Nowhere. I mean, there's not even room for a dining table. We don't have a dining room table. We don't have a table that we sit at.
Yeah, see, people, they always say like, oh, do you just move a chair or you move this piece of furniture? But sometimes there's nowhere to move it. Like there's, right. Unless you just want to put a piece of furniture randomly in your bedroom so you can't walk around for a month.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is, my mother is coming over tonight to help In the last year of getting better, of overcoming a very dark period of my life, my mother said that she would come over at least once a week to help me with things. And Lita has dance tonight, so she's going to come over a little earlier, and we're going to do laundry together, and then she'll take Lita to dance, and I'll consult with the Avon World sales leader about what the hell am I going to do? I have no room for a Christmas tree.
So you get to spend that time strategizing for a holiday you don't even like.
Yeah. And nice. So my least favorite holiday by far is Halloween. I hate Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Same. I think we've talked about that.
Yeah. Because Utah does Halloween up. Ugh. For me, it's just the pressure of this holiday because I'm terrible at gift giving, and the pressure to give my kids the holiday experience that they deserve.
Right.
Do you feel that?
I totally do. But I think the real issue, so Halloween is awful, but it is one day. Like people might decorate early, but you really only celebrate on one day. I guess some people go to Halloween parties, but for the most part, it's one day. But Christmas is from the day after Thanksgiving until Christmas.
Yes.
It's like, it's the whole season of it. It's not just giving your kids a good Christmas day. It's everything about it. It's making cookies and doing all of these things that you're supposed to do because everyone associates them with Christmas.
Yes.
And I don't have anything against these things, but it is really daunting.
It is extraordinarily. I mean, I think back to my childhood and how much I loved decorating the tree, and I loved the smell of the tree. I loved the smell of, you know, wreaths and cinnamon and all that sort of thing, and Christmas music, and like, right, the idea of putting on a Christmas album, I want to go punch somebody in the face.
Yep.
I don't want to listen to Christmas music, though.
Yeah. And it's weird. Because I loved it as a kid. I really, really, really enjoyed it. And Lexton has always liked it. Not just the day, but the entire season. And I thought for a while, because we haven't had, I mean, I know that this sounds amazing to you, but we've had like very little snow the last few seasons. And for Lexton, snow is the holiday, like the two go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So when we don't have snow, it doesn't feel like Christmas. But I'm starting to realize this year that it's really not the lack of snow. He has just kind of lost the magic of Christmas. And I think it's because of everything that happened.
Really?
Because for so many years, it was a family Christmas.
Oh, I see.
That doesn't exist anymore. And I really think that that's a big piece. He doesn't care. He doesn't want to listen to music. He doesn't want to make cookies. He doesn't want to do anything. Which is,
wow,
is okay. I mean, I'm not going to force it on him, but I think it has more, there's more to it than just the lack of snow.
Yeah.
And that is kind of sad. And then it makes me feel like I have to really amp up to try and make him enjoy it, because I feel like he should. No kid should hate this season. I don't know. But again, that comes back to the pressure of it all.
Yeah. We sort of spun it as they get two Christmases. You know, they get one here and then they get one with John, Jex, him.
Him.
So I think that they like the season because, oh, you know, we get presents here and then we go get presents there. So it's like two Christmases. And the last time that I had them on Christmas, so John and I, legally, one person can get the whole 2 weeks of the Christmas break. But John and I worked it out that one of us would get Christmas and then one of us would get the week after. So this year,
that's nice.
It's my turn. Yeah, this year it's my turn to have them on Christmas. And the last time that I had them on Christmas, I went fucking out, man. I gave them a gym in the house.
I remember that.
Yeah, I bought all this equipment off of Amazon, all this gym equipment, and a bar and a trampoline and all these mats. And I decorated this whole room, and I had actually put up a sign, this giant sign that said Armstrong Gym. And it was
that's awesome.
So after opening all their presents, they did this little, our tradition is to do kind of I write a clue that sends them to another clue that sends them to another clue that sends them to the big gift. I can't do it. What am I going to do? I can't top that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you set the bar. Well, you set the bar pretty high and then you downsized.
Yeah. I fucked it up, man. I fucked it up. Shit.
Do they ask for things? Like, do they make a list?
They made a list of, like, you know, Marlo wants a really giant, you know, unicorn, rainbow unicorn, and she wants so poop awesome emoji pillows. But there's nothing like major, like, they have every gaming system, they have their phones and their iPads, and Related is working up towards one, but like, what sort of huge, really exciting thing can I give to them? And that's the puzzle this year.
You know, and that's what I always go through, is what's going to be the big thing. But I just don't know how much it matters. Because, like, this year, Lexton has almost nothing on his list. And he's kind of concerned that he can't think of more things to want. Like, he's very concerned that he feels like he should have more on there. I'm like, no, for one, I can think of things to give you. That's really not a challenge. Like, you don't have to just want things to want them. It's not what this is about. But the big gift is always a thing.
Yeah. And then there's always the, I don't know if you have to do these, and I don't dread them at all, mostly. the family Christmas parties. I mean, do you guys have those?
Well, we used to, but all of the family Christmas parties were with Hex's family. So,
I mean, do you go there and do that still?
They invite me every year. I mean, her whole family, I'm still, you know, close to them, but I don't go. I just end up sitting it out. I mean, it was the same thing with Thanksgiving. I was invited to two Thanksgivings and didn't go. Mm-hmm. And in part, it's not even that I'm not interested in going, but it's that she has a tendency to not commit in advance. So I never know if she's going to go. And I just don't really have an interest in spending that time with her. Her family, that would be fine. I mean, I get along with her family. And it's not that we don't get along. I would rather not. And in truth, it's her family. If she wants to go, I don't also need to be there. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't mind the parties, but I don't need them.
Well, we have a Christmas party. My mother throws one. We all get together and do Christmas with my mother. And then my dad does one at his house. And it's very different.
Like an actual party with his family?
Yeah, it's like, well, it's just him and my stepmother. And it's this tradition where we all sit down and we have a meal. And then we all go watch. I'm going to get in so much shit for this, so much trouble for complaining about this. But then we go down into the basement and he turns on this special Mormon Jesus film about the spirit of Christmas and blah, 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 blah,
blah. Sounds pretty awesome.
Super, super religious white Jesus, Anglo-Saxon Jesus. And then it's very reverent. You know, everybody needs to be reverent and thankful. And then he gives everybody, all the kids, the gifts from him. But at my mom's house, we just, like, she throws out a whole bunch of food and everybody just sort of sits around and, you know, it's more relaxed. I'm not saying that one is better than the other, although I am saying that.
I think it just depends on what you're used to, like how things were when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. Because, the closest family that I had growing up lived 6 or 8 hours away. So typically on both Thanksgiving and Christmas, it was just my 5-person family. Super relaxed, hang out in your PJs, like everything was really relaxed. And down here, because all of Heather's family is down here, there's like her mom's side celebrates and her dad's side celebrates. And her mom's side is super relaxed. There's drinks, there's food, really casual. Her dad's side is extremely formal.
Yeah.
It used to be where one person could open one gift at a time and everyone would watch, and then you'd go to the next person and it would take hours.
Oh God. Like
hours. And everybody, they're all great people. It's just, that's not Christmas to me, because that's not how I was raised. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean it's worse. It just is worse.
That's
all there is to it.
Oh, yeah. I remember like when my parents divorced, being excited about, I have the two Christmases, my mom and my dad. My dad got more formal after the divorce, I think. Things at my dad's house are always more very organized and, you know, I don't know, very stringent. Is that a word? What is the word?
Sterile?
Sterile, yeah.
Maybe.
It's very formal. It's very reverent. It's very quiet. It's kind of like it's kind of like me and John. Like, John has become very formal after in the last 5 years. And I have become way, way, way more crass, if that's even possible. But like, you know, my family uses paper plates and plastic cups and stuff like that. My dad uses the good stuff, though, like actual plates and actual forks and knives.
Oh, wow.
It's just those little differences.
Right.
But, you know, when you show up and you're like a paper plate and a plastic, you're like, for me, the hick that I am, I immediately relax because it's like, okay, I don't have to watch every word that comes out of my mouth.
Right.
Because I'm using a paper plate.
Well, it sets the tone. I mean,
yeah.
And that's a really good way to put it. I mean, the same for me. One side has, not even fine china, but just actual dishware. And the other side has paper plates and solo cups.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a totally, it immediately, like you said, it immediately sets a different tone, I think.
Right.
It's just immediately less formal.
Lita came before Leah left. Before they went to New York for Thanksgiving, she and I were having a conversation about her father and the atmosphere there. she just looked at me and she was just like, Marlo had made a comment about how she had overheard somebody talking to her one of Liz's children and said, you know, is your mom going to marry that man, John? Marla was like, I don't want that to happen. And I'm like, why don't you want that to happen? And she said, because I don't like the fact that my parents are divorced. This is recent. And, right. and I said, I know that hurts. And I know that you're still dealing with this, but your father and I are not ever going to be together. I know that he loves Liz and that Liz makes him very happy. I was trying to explain that to her. And I was telling Lita about this interaction, and she was chewing on something, and like she stopped chewing and her jaw dropped. And she was like, I could never. She goes, I can't ever imagine you with him.
That's what she said?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
She's like, I just can't even picture the two of you. She's like, no. She's like, I can't. Don't make me do it. And I was like, why is it weird? She goes, because you and Liz are so different, Mom. You guys are just the complete opposite of each other. And it just, again, here it's just, my kids are good kids and I make them, you know, work hard, but it's a really relaxed atmosphere here.
That's interesting. It makes me wonder if, and I guess in John's situation, it's a little different because Liz has children. So maybe that's just how they parent. But I feel like, you know, you look at your mom and you lived with your mom after your parents separated and she was more casual. You're more casual. I am more casual. I almost feel like, and maybe that's really what it is that when you're a single parent, you almost have to be as a survival mechanism. Like that,
yeah,
that expression, picking your battles takes on a whole new meaning.
Exactly.
So you don't have a choice. You either go crazy trying to stay really rigid or you just back off.
Yeah.
And that's definitely, when Heather and I were together, I was probably the more rigid one. Since we've separated, that has completely flipped. Just because it puts things in perspective.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like I think about, the fact that we don't have a kitchen table, we sit at the countertop. My kids come home, they have homework. Each of them has to practice piano a specific amount of time, showers, dinner. So there's really not a lot of like in between time. It's all, our nights are packed. You get it. You totally understand how packed nights can be. So I gladly admit that I often fix my children whatever they want to eat, and it's usually different from each other. And then I have my own meal and I'll sit down with them, but I don't really ever like, we are having chicken tacos tonight. Boom. It's never like that. It's like, okay, what are you willing to eat? Okay, we'll make that for you and I will sit at the countertop with you. And that is because there really isn't a lot of time to cook at night. There's just so, like piano and therapy and piano and dance and, you know, it's just, I deal with, and diarrhea.
Is that relevant to your week?
Oh, I had to go. Marlo came home from New York with diarrhea and she seemed okay yesterday morning and I sent her to school. And then like 2 hours later, I see that number on the phone and shit. It's the Monday after, it's Cyber Monday. It's the Monday after Thanksgiving and my kid's sick.
Yep.
So I go pick her up and I stay with her all day long. And then I put her to bed and she woke up an hour later, just super sick. And then she had diarrhea all night long and was with me in my bed. So I didn't sleep at all last night. You know, I mean, it's in those moments. Am I going to take a low road? I may.
We've been venturing down that path more and more lately, I think.
Yeah,
it's the holidays, though, so we're allowed.
It's the hard no. Like, again, it's like, okay, so now my entire fucking workday is ruined because my kid is sick. I'm the one who deals with the diarrhea. I'm the one who takes them to piano. I'm the one who makes them practice piano. I'm the one who oversees the homework. I'm the one who makes sure they have all their stuff when they go to school in the morning. Like, this is my responsibility. And yesterday when I was driving to pick her up from school, I just wanted to scream. Like, I always have to deal with the diarrhea.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're complaining, but that's not It is, but it has nothing to do with Marlo.
No.
At all. It's just the fact that all of those things that require you to bend and flex your life, you are the one who has to bend and flex it.
Mm-hmm.
I totally get it. I mean,
and I,
God, yeah.
I was thinking, okay, so if I am if I'm a single mother who's working an inflexible job, probably two or three inflexible jobs, I have to leave my kid at school with diarrhea. My kid has to stay at school because there's nobody to go pick her up, right?
Right.
Like, how fucking lucky am I that I can go get her? I always try to put that back into perspective. Like, at least I can bring my sick child home. But then there's that part of me that's just like, God damn it.
Right. Right. Now, and it's not because you don't want to bring her home. It's just, it would be nice if someone else could also do that.
It would be nice if I had someone, yeah, who could watch her while I worked.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. I totally get that. Yeah. And it's, I mean, in your case, it's obviously because he's halfway across the country. So it's impossible for him to help. My case is slightly different. And it's frustrating because her job is pretty rigid. I mean, it's very important that she's there. But at the same time, and that's what she will usually say, I can't take the time off. He's sick, but I can't take the time off. I can't. But then on a lot of the other days, I always hear about how work was crazy because someone was home with a sick kid. I'm like, you know what? If they can do it, like, you can do it sometimes. Every so often would be okay. You know, I mean, and it's hard in any situation for you know, couples, for single parents, because there's sick days, there's so many fucking days off anymore that mm-hmm. it's just impossible to juggle it. But when you know that you're the only one that's going to do it, it does wear on you sometimes. Diarrhea is a perfect example because that is an awful situation.
It is an awful situation. And she was, I mean, she's in pain and she's not feeling well. And, you know, she's really sick and it's terrible. I feel terrible for her. But it was like, oh, that's a great, great segue into Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Just do this right.
I mean, silver lining, at least it's now instead of the 23rd or something.
We haven't gotten to the 23rd yet, John.
That's true. That's true. I will knock on all the wood I can find.
So, I was going to say my mother and my stepfather, the last few years when I've had them for Christmas, they will come over on Christmas morning to, because, you know, my brother and sister are both still married. So my mother and stepfather will come to be with me to give Lita and Marlo more holiday support, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My mom helps me out quite a bit just to, like, the night or a couple nights before, making sure that everything's wrapped and in good shape. Like, I'm so glad that I have her to step in and fill some of the voids.
Well, I think it helps to just make it feel like a more, not even well-rounded, but just a fuller experience.
Yeah. Do you decorate, by the way?
Do I? No. Lexton typically does. He in the past, I guess that is the one thing that he has not lost interest in. He loves Christmas lights and Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
I hate them. Like, there's one strand of white lights that goes around one room and that's it. Every year, like every single year since 2005, I've purchased a live full-size tree.
Really?
Every year. I grew up with live tree. We never had fake trees. So that for me was just, that was sort of an essential part of Christmas. And I still enjoy them. However, I'm sick of dealing with them, for one. And for another, my house is only accessible by climbing down about 45 stairs.
Right.
And I'm just done with juggling it. And thankfully, I kind of presented the idea of, you know, a table tree, like a 3-foot tree. to Lexton, and he was pretty receptive to it. I said, we can still put lights on it. We can still decorate. I did have to make the compromise that because it will have less lights than a full-size tree, we will put other lights elsewhere. which is going to suck.
It's going to suck. Like, that's, for me, like, the worst Christmas thing, in my opinion, is putting lights on a Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
That's why I own artificial pre-lit Christmas trees. Like, there's no fucking way you're ever going to get me to put lights on a goddamn Christmas tree ever again, ever.
I did it one year and
I was like, fuck, we're not even celebrating this holiday. Stop.
Well, you either end up with not enough lights, or you have enough lights, but somehow they ended like halfway up the tree. There's always something. And then there's the sap, and then there's the needles. And I know I sound like a total Scrooge. It's just, I would rather put that energy into other holiday things that are not that.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I mean, I'm kind of intrigued by the idea of the two Christmas concept, because I don't know if you remember or how many of the listeners remember, but typically I have hosted Heather and her parents for Christmas.
That's right.
And it's always been really great.
Oh, God.
Yep. And I mean, it started, the first year was because I just wanted it to be as normal for Lexton as possible. And that was typically what we did. We would have her parents over. So I did that and it was fine. And then I guess I did it last year because, I don't know, that's what we had done. And I decided a couple weeks ago, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm going to have Christmas, probably Christmas morning with him, because I'm assuming he'll want to wake up here. And then he can go to her house and have Christmas there, because
yeah.
I don't want to host. I'm just burnt out on being ultra accommodating without any reciprocation. Not that that's why I do it, but can't keep doing it.
Reciprocation would be nice, right?
I mean, something every so often. And it's not like anything has gotten worse. I mean, she still comes over twice a week. We still communicate really often, and it's fine, but I don't feel like I need to host the holidays again. It just doesn't make any sense.
Hi, this is Kendra Adachi from the Lazy Genius podcast, and I am so excited that the new KFC chicken nuggets are here. You have never had nuggets like these before. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe, and absolutely delicious. They have become a go-to favorite the kids love to fight over, and I hope they make dinner easier and more fun for you too. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
I do the Christmas tree, and then I put out some candles, a few figurines here and there.
Do you have a nativity?
Oh, God, no.
No. I was thinking probably not.
No. I grew up with nativity scenes, for sure. But that's not something that I've introduced, no. I think it would confuse. My kids would be like, what the fuck is that? What is that?
One year, like several years ago, we had friends from the UK, and they were atheist, and he was very atheist, and he was irritated one Christmas because he was noticing that all the nativity scenes that were outside, a lot of the characters like lit up, except baby Jesus. Baby Jesus was either not lit or had a spotlight. So we spent the entire holiday season looking, as he put it, for a baby Jesus with a light up his ass. And that was the goal. Whoever could find it and text it won. It was great. It's the only time I've ever really enjoyed nativity scenes.
Oh my God.
It was like to the point where if you saw it, you'd kind of walk into someone's yard to verify there was a light and take a photo. And it was great. Through the snow, it didn't matter. So for anyone looking for a tradition, I highly, highly recommend the baby Jesus with a light up his ass.
With a light up his ass. As a kid, people in the South go kind of nutty with the lights at Christmas. Like, really, really nutty. People really do it up in the South with the lights on the outside of their house. And so, traditionally, we would several times get in the car, listen to Christmas music, and go look at all the lights because we knew where the good houses were.
Oh yeah.
I don't have, that's, they don't, that doesn't happen here.
Oh, that happens here.
Does it happen there?
Oh, it's a thing.
I think I'm going to adopt that, that they do put up nativity scenes. And so I'm going to adopt that new tradition. Baby Jesus with a light up his ass.
You really should. It's pretty great. And it's not as easy as you'd think. Because when you really start to look, baby Jesus is usually with a spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
But we totally, the Christmas light thing is big here. When Lexton was really little, he used to call it Christmas light looking. So that's, oh, really? Just still, even today, I asked him just over the weekend, I'm like, do you want to go light looking for Christmas lights? Because that's just what we call it. And there's a house not far from here, I don't know, half an hour from where I live, that has, they won that like HGTV Christmas light showdown thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a couple of years. They have, I don't know, 1.5 million lights on their house. It's absolutely,
oh, my
insane.
God.
Oh, yeah. There's now a parking lot by their house. They offer hot chocolate. You can donate. They give, I think after covering expenses, they give all of the money to, I don't know what the charity is, but they give it away. And
they should give it to Puerto Rico this year. If they're using that much electricity.
I think
40% of Puerto Rico still doesn't have electricity.
Yep.
And here we are looking at 1.5 billion lights on a house.
Christmas. It's pretty nuts. And you can, it's like one of those, if you've been to those houses where it tells you what radio station to tune into and then the lights are synced with the radio.
Oh my God, seriously?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's a huge deal. I mean, the county sheriff and the state police, like they had to redirect traffic. It's huge. I mean, it's massive. I don't know how much they make, but it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I have never put decorations on the outside of my house. I maybe put a wreath on the door, but that's about as far as I'll go.
So what are the figurines though? I'm very intrigued now.
Yeah.
What figurines do you put up? Like Santa's?
Oh, like I bought like reindeer.
Okay.
And decorative tiny little trees, candles. Like little votive holders that are, you know, Christmas themed.
Oh yeah.
You know, I want to give my children, you know, a sense of like, okay, we're now in this season and it's, you know, and what I'll do is I'll do this mixture of, I've never found a candle that has the right smell for Christmas. My mother used to do this too. She would basically put a pot of water on the stove and you put cinnamon and cloves and a little bit of oil in it, mostly cinnamon and cloves, maybe a little bit of mint.
Yep.
And you boil it and then you let it simmer and the house just fills with this incredible like roasted cinnamon clove smell.
Are you going to do that this year?
I do it every year. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you do. So my house currently is much more divided. Like the rooms are smaller. They're not, it's not like a really open plan. Does it still work? Like, I feel like because my kitchen, I mean, the house that I moved from was very open. So the smell of anything in the kitchen would just kind of go through the house. But if it simmers, does it still kind of drift through everywhere?
My house again is just like you said, it's sort of cut up, but the kitchen and the living room are open with each other.
Oh, nice.
So it'll at least fill the living room with the smell.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That I can get into. I've never been a big fan of any of the, like the votive holders or the figurines or anything, mostly because I don't want to deal with them after the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially now, my house has one closet and it is in my room and that is the only closet in the entire house. So I don't have anywhere to put anything. And the basement is cellar style. So you can't store anything in it.
Oh my God.
Which is one of the reasons I don't have anything because there's nowhere to put anything. Everything I own has to be out somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's obnoxious.
It's obnoxious, but at the same time, I will say that having downsized and having no room for things has brought me there's a kind of happiness. It's not, you know, this has changed my life. This has brought me so much joy, but there's a satisfaction in not having as much shit as I used to have or having to keep track of as much shit.
Oh yeah.
Because I can't, there's no place to put anything.
Well, it's very liberating. When mm-hmm. you finally realize, and I think we've talked about this, but when you just realize how much you don't need.
Right.
And that's usually, I'll think about it and like, I would really like this. but I really only need it during this season. And then when I'm not in that season, I don't have anywhere for it to go. So I guess I don't really need it. It just doesn't need to sit out, you know? It is. It's frustrating, but it is kind of a liberating place to be. But at the same time, it's hard for things when you do want, like, the decorations, for example. Mm-hmm. And there's nowhere to put them. And I'll be damned if I'm going to have anything visible from Christmas any other time of the year. It's definitely not going to happen.
You're super right about the fact, like, when you have to clean up the Christmas decorations, it's like, oh, man. Oh, God. Yep. I dreaded it so badly last year that my mom was like, I'm coming and I'm helping you and we're going to get it done in an hour. And that's what we did.
Holy shit. That's impressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is one thing I think I know I never appreciated. Like my mom hated taking ornaments off the tree, dreaded it every year. And I never really got it because all I remembered as a kid was how fun it was to decorate the tree. Mm-hmm. There were cookies and music and you decorated because I didn't take the ornaments off the tree and wrap them carefully and put them back in a box. That blows. Taking things, it's like the exact opposite mood. When you're decorating, you're happy. And when you take it down, you're just pissed and you want it over with. Mm-hmm. God. I don't even have anything up and I'm already dreading it.
Yeah.
The tree is going to happen this weekend, the first weekend in December.
Right. I have to find my tree. Otherwise, I need to go get one. But I saw a tweet this morning. We're back to Twitter. I saw a tweet this morning and it said, it wasn't that the Grinch didn't like Christmas. The Grinch didn't like people, which makes sense.
Yeah, right. Yep. Yeah, he wasn't
like,
so bad.
Cut the Grinch some slack. Like, he just hated people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think, though, that that's interesting you say that because I think the Christmas season, it either makes you love people or hate people. Like there's no in between. You're never kind of okay with it. It's just everyone drives you insane or you love how cheery everyone is.
Well, it also, I think what it does is it enhances whatever state you are in. If you are in a happy state, if you're like, you know, really joyous and things are good and you're feeling really energetic about things, you're like, oh, this is great. People are happy. Christmas shopping, you know, there's a lilt, you know, you go to the grocery store and there's, you know, poinsettias and, but if you're like in a bad place, dark, dark place, I wouldn't know anything about this at all.
Yep.
Christmas is just like, all it does is reinforce the fact that you're gonna die alone.
Right. Oh, yeah. And it's funny because I've tried to be really positive about it. Like, I don't exchange gifts with like any of my siblings or their spouses. We stopped doing that years ago. And there's only, I guess, then I have four nieces and nephews. So the gift giving is really minimal, which is nice because I hate giving gifts. But then at the same time, you're out and you see people shopping for spouses or significant others, and you just want to die. Like, I don't even like giving gifts. And it's not about the gift. It's just the concept that you don't get to partake in. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, It's weird. It's not even something I want, that the exact thing. I just want the essence of what it represents.
Right.
And they're so fucking happy. It's going to be a long month. I'm just going to own that right now.
I do not like receiving gifts. I don't know how to, it's awkward. It's like an awkward handshake where I'm like, I don't, you're giving me something. Why are you giving me something?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And you get watched while you open it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like I say thank you before I even really know what it is. Mm-hmm. Just because I feel like once I say it, then I am released. Like, then I will no longer be watched. Thanks, I love it. And then I'll look at it and figure out what it is. Because I don't like that at all. If there was a blanket agreement to not give or receive any gifts to anyone at Christmas, I would be thrilled.
I would be thrilled, thrilled. And then I could really enjoy the spirit of like just being with the people that I want to be with, right? Just yep. That's that to me is the spirit. That to me is sharing sharing stories and sitting around and enjoying time with the people that you want to be with, that to me is the essence of the season.
Yep.
And the gift giving just sort of this awkward, like, it just puts a chip in it. It's like a teacup with a giant chip in it.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I don't remember when it was. It was several years ago when we decided to not exchange on my side of the family, except for the kids. And instead, we would take turns preparing meals, planning dinners. We all, when we met at my sister's house in Wisconsin, we all came, like, not as couples, but as individual people with cocktail recipes and just took turns preparing the drinks. And so there was none of that pressure. It was just, we were all there to share in the same exact things.
Yeah.
And it was great. So much better than trying to find gifts or, and then people say, well, if you don't like to give gifts, just give a gift card. That is the worst possible solution. I would rather just hand someone, I could just hand them a $50 bill, like Merry Christmas.
Well, that's the easy thing about my family is, and I love this about them, like they are overjoyed when they get a gift certificate to Outback Steakhouse, Chili's, Applebee's, or Home Depot.
Oh, like, God, Applebee's.
They love it. I haven't
thought about that in so long.
They especially love the ones to Chili's. Like, that's the best. They love Chili's gift cards.
So awesome.
Really? Awesome.
I mean, I guess if you genuinely enjoy, but I think with everyone, like whether they're aware of it or not, part of what they love is that they know they're going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you open a gift, when you get a box, there's this chance like, oh shit, do I have to make them think that I love this? But if it's a gift card, odds are pretty good it's going to be to somewhere you go anyway.
Yeah.
So you automatically are thrilled.
Exactly.
I don't know that I would be super thrilled with Chili's, but maybe. I mean,
they have the chips and salsa that you get free order, like they refill it constantly. That's my family's favorite thing in the world.
Free chips and salsa.
Awesome. The chips and salsa. Yeah, I love it because you order one and they keep bringing it to you for free. After you pay for the initial one, right?
Right.
Which I will say I am guilty of loving that too.
I mean, I don't complain about free chips or bottomless, I suppose, chips and salsa.
Yeah.
But it's better with the margarita. And if you, I mean, they don't drink. Do you drink in front? Like, no, you drink,
when
right?
they are at my house, when they are at my house, yes, I do. Because it's my rules at my house. I hosted Thanksgiving one year and I believe that I let them pray over the meal. God. I was like, if you guys want to do that, that's fine. You guys can do that. But yeah, I drink and I remember having wine in front of them that Thanksgiving.
Okay. So they don't, but they're okay with it, relatively speaking.
Yeah. Whenever they come to my house, like, it's so funny. My nephews, especially, they're six, my twin nephews. They come over to my coffee machine and they like open the thing and they try to, they're like, oh, it smells so good. It smells so good. Because they don't drink coffee.
Oh, they're not allowed, right?
No. And I remember being their age and like walking into a grocery store and walking down the coffee aisle and being overcome by how good it smelled and being, feeling terrible, feeling so guilty that I loved the smell of coffee.
I don't. Yeah. I'm just going to ask because we need a little Mormon lesson in this episode. What is it with the coffee?
Okay.
Why?
Oh, so this is a very interesting, this is actually very interesting. So it's called The Word of Wisdom and it's in a book called The Doctrine and Covenants, which is a part of the scriptures, part of Mormon scriptures. And they came up, they were all sitting around, Joseph Smith and the apostles at the time, back in the late 1800s, were writing this scripture. The legend or the rumor is that they were getting distracted by all the tobacco smoking and whatnot. And somebody, I forget what the revelation was, but Mormon, basically, you're supposed to stay away from alcoholic beverages, smoking, tobacco, and hot drinks, which came to mean coffee and tea.
They can't have tea either?
No.
Holy shit.
not with caffeine in it. It was basically it was basically staying away from addictive substances. But they specified hot drinks. So Mormons get around it by drinking Coke or Diet Coke because they never said anything about soda.
Well, what about like iced coffee though? I mean, technically.
So for the longest, I mean, it was basically this year, 2017, BYU decided that it was going to allow caffeinated soda on campus.
That is so weird.
When I was attending BYU, you could not get a caffeinated drink. Like, you could not buy a Coke. It was caffeine-free Coke, caffeine-free Diet Coke, caffeine-free Dr. Pepper.
So that, it doesn't make any sense because
doesn't make any
anyone
sense.
With, I'm not even going to make that comment. Clearly, it was the caffeine that they were opposed to. Not the fact that coffee was hot. Like, they're going around. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It makes no sense.
I could see, like, allowing decaf coffee. Because then you're acknowledging that it's really not the coffee, but it's the caffeine, so we're going to do less caffeine. I don't. You get so much shit done with caffeine. Joseph Smith could have written that in, like, half the time. I mean, there was that day, what, a week or two ago where I realized I was texting you and it was like a barrage of texts, just these long, like text after text after text after text because I had an afternoon coffee and I felt like I was soaring. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. That's sad.
Yeah, my coffee machine makes espresso. I have to be very careful. I have to be very careful doing an afternoon coffee.
Yeah. Oh, I learned. I paid for it that day.
Yeah.
I used to be fine, but then I cut back on coffee. So now it's can't really do afternoon coffee anymore.
This is this actually is giving me an idea. What I should do is I should just buy them, like, gift my sister's family, because all of them love the smell of coffee. Just give them like 4 bags of it that they can put like under their pillow. Oh my God. They don't have to drink it, but they can smell it.
So did you say that you host? Like, do you host them?
No, I mean, back when I had that awful, awful, awful huge house, I hosted them a few times. I don't have the room for more than 4 people in this house. There's just no way.
I'm sure that someone like Yankee Candle makes a coffee scented candle. Uh-huh.
I don't know. Do you think they, because where is Yankee Candle based?
I have no idea.
Because they're huge here.
It's not there?
Because if they're based, they're huge here. Huge. Everybody's got the Yankee Candle stuff. I wonder if they have a coffee. How would that smell though? I don't know.
Well, it would probably smell like sweet coffee is my guess, which actually kind of kills the charm. Because coffee is this thing. I don't think I've ever met anybody who doesn't like the smell of it. I know people that don't like coffee, but even like you said, as kids, you love it. Something about the smell of it is just intoxicating.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I know somebody who doesn't like the smell of coffee.
What?
And he wouldn't even kiss me if I had a cup of coffee.
Are you serious? That bad?
Yes. He hated it. God. He hated the smell. He hated the concept. And like, I have a cup of coffee every day. Every day. A really good cup of coffee. And I would go visit him in New York. And I get coffee, and then he was just like, I'm not kissing you until you brush your teeth.
Oh my God. So he made you choose him or coffee. Oh, well, clearly that didn't work out to his benefit, but that's crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was a weird thing because I'm like, who doesn't love this? Who doesn't love this? Who doesn't love coffee?
Yeah, honestly. I mean, even just the smell, Lexton doesn't drink coffee, but he loves the way it smells when I make it.
Oh, Lita can't wait to start drinking coffee. She cannot wait.
Do you not
let
her?
How old do I have to be? How old do I have to be? Well, the girl in, we're watching Gilmore Girls right now. The daughter in Gilmore Girls drinks coffee every day.
Right, Rory, yeah.
Yeah. Did you watch it?
I'm not going to comment on that.
Oh my God, did you watch the whole show?
I have watched everything except the newest Netflix episode.
Are you serious?
I've seen them all.
Really?
It's okay. It's because I didn't watch it when it was out because it's pitched very much as like a girl's show, at least when I was at that age. Like, it was a, it was a chick show, quote unquote. It's not. I mean, it is more for women, but there's a lot of, there's just a lot of interesting dynamics in there and some great characters.
Yes. Yes.
I'm totally
I've really come to like it. Like, I didn't, I was just like, eh, when it first started, I was like, eh, but I've really come to enjoy it.
Well, what season are you in?
We're still in the first season.
Oh, see, it gets good.
We have a long way to go.
I will say there's, what, seven seasons or something?
Yeah.
The last, at least the last season, maybe the last like one and a half, really did not like it. Really started to lose interest. Some of the characters just wear on me. There's some character development that doesn't happen with some of them.
This is amazing to find out. This is amazing.
So we'll have to have a Gilmore Girls episode.
We will.
I mean, I know the whole town of Stars Hollow, everybody.
Oh, God. I clicked on this stupid link. It was like 20 quotes by rabid Gilmore Girl fans. And I clicked on the link, and there are pictures, screenshots of fucking scenes that, like, oh, my God, that just spoiled a huge plot twist for me.
Like, oh, yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
I told Lita, and she's like, don't tell me. I don't want to know.
It's a cult. I mean, there's, it's a huge deal.
I think Rory is 14 at the beginning of the show. And so right, I was like, maybe next year you can start drinking coffee, Lita.
Yeah, she's got to be early. Like in the 14 to 16 age.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been some drinks that Laxton has had that have coffee, but I don't do them often. But I've also noticed that I think he really wants to drink it, but he can't quite stomach it yet.
Right.
Like, he really wants to like it and tries so hard, but will drink half of it and then just act like he got full. Like, dude, it's okay. You don't have to love coffee right now. You've got plenty of time. But it is cool. I think at that age, like, you associate it with being a cool thing.
Yeah.
Especially if Rory Gilmore does it. I mean,
exactly.
Oh, man.
And we have, so Christmas to Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, Christmas to Gilmore. And now everyone knows that I watched the entire series. The more you know.
Oh, and by the way, we need to let everybody know that we're soon to launch Patreon.
That's coming very soon. Yes.
It should be fun.
So keep an eye out.
Yes. And we would love to hear your take on Christmas season. What do you dread? What do you look forward to? Is this your favorite time of year? Is it your least favorite time of year? You can always send us your stories to stories@manicramblings.com. Coco's barking. That was a big bark.
Well timed.
Get him, Coco. And then you can find us online on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @manicramblings.
It's perfect.
Oh my god. Coco is the embodiment of my whole like attitude towards this season. Just barking. Angry barking.
Oh, man.
Yes. So until next time, if you can find a baby Jesus with a light up its ass, we would love to see evidence.
Oh yes. Send us pictures. Oh, that would be awesome.
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hey guys, it's Kayla Ewell from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one what amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken nuggets, now available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.